The Pulse, WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I am your host, John Fowler, and Jay Mace is in the house today. Hey, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I got in from Winston-Salem just enough time to watch about the last 5 minutes of the Colorado game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
I ended up making the mistake of staying up and watching it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I paid for it this morning.
Well, I fell asleep. I don't remember what time. And so about 7 o'clock, I set the clock. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I've got to get up. And I fell back to sleep. And you know how when you fall back to sleep, it's some of the best sleep?
Yeah.
And so it was like 7:15, and then it's like I woke up and didn't know where I was. It's like, okay, where am I?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, so I was just kind of wondering about that.
Yeah, no, we're trying to rearrange everything because where we – oh, you're going to blind me. So where Sam babysits the boys every day now, we're getting up at 6 a.m. because we have to be to Luke and Courtney's no later than 7. And that's a huge change because otherwise, except for the day we do the show, I wasn't getting up to about 7:45 and everything to be able to be at work by 9. So our whole system's a little out of kilter, and we're kind of wallering through that right now.
That's a good West Virginia word, wallering.
Waller. I like to waller. Yeah. I don't like to waller, but I do waller.
Man, I tell you, you're talking about wallering. Coming back from Winston yesterday, man, did it rain.
Yeah, it rained hard at the church.
I mean, wow.
But we didn't get a drop. We didn't get a drop on Red House Hill.
That's my dad was telling me they didn't get any rain out Ripley. And what happens, you ever heard the old saying, the reason why that it rains? Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're good. I'm trying to maneuver three or four things here. You know, the reason why it doesn't rain is because people aren't paying the preacher. That's an old saying.
Oh, is that what it
That's an old saying.
Well, there you go.
So you
Shame
have,
on them.
So you have family. I've heard you talk about this from the pulpit, that you have family, and your grandmother lived in Ripley. Was it?
Yes, on Route 33.
33. Now, yep. They had a farm out there?
They did. Right on the Roan-Jackson County border on Route 33, if you're heading towards Spencer.
As soon as you
pass that sign that says Roan County, look left, and that was the old farm place they had. Now, they had an old farmhouse there that burned down years ago. I mean, I was maybe 8 or 9, and the farmhouse burned down.
Wow.
And then they rebuilt and lived out there up until they, till my grandfather died, and then my grandmother remarried, and they lived there until they both died.
There is no easy way to Spencer.
There's not, no.
I mean, it's just like, because I've got a, there's a guy that owns an airport, Richard Boggs, that's a friend of mine, and he owns the airport in Spencer, and I've been out there several times, and man, I tell you, it's easier to fly there.
I imagine, yeah.
It's a whole lot easier.
Well, Spencer's just like one left-hand turn, right?
It is. It's like going to St. Albans.
I've been there a lot, but.
It's like St. Albans, there's no easy way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not right off the interstate. It's
why
not
would
like
you want
Dumbo.
To go to St. Albans anyway?
Well, John, that's the home of John Sandy. So is that what you're saying?
No, I went to Nitro. I grew up going to Nitro.
Oh, so, I got you.
You know, we always called them Snobbins and all that.
Snobbins.
I really don't have any problem with them. Got friends over there.
That's funny. We'll be over there tonight, I think. Yeah, we got Connect Group over there tonight.
Yep.
And then ball game tomorrow, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then Sunday church. Then Monday. Man, I tell you, it's a weekend of...
Yeah, I don't have a lot on the calendar this weekend, and trying to do more of that. Sam and I are trying to hike at least every other weekend and be active again a little bit more. I've dropped 20-some pounds and
that's so awesome.
Feeling good and all that. So, yeah, so we're trying to keep at it a little bit.
You have to take us with you because Christy won't hike until October because of snakes.
Oh, please.
And because that one that we saw just freaked him out. And probably shouldn't have shot it, but it was coming towards my daughter-in-law.
Was it a copperhead, or what was it?
I don't know. It was gold, but I know what a copperhead looks like. But this thing, I ain't lying. It was the size of my fist. His head was the size of my fist, and he had, and you could tell his jaw opened a lot because his mouth.
That almost sounds like a rattlesnake.
No,
didn't have a rattle.
No rattle. No, but
where were you?
Kentucky. We were in Lexington.
You could maybe have some cotton mills there.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't have a rattler on. I mean, it wasn't aggressive at
first.
Well,
a cotton mouse is not a rattle.
Oh, okay. This is kind of gold looking. But anyway, it freaked them all out. And but, you know, it's like several of them, you know, I bought them all boots. Okay, so we started hiking.
Here we go, guys. We're getting the full story.
Yeah. So we started, John and Stephanie invited us to go hiking. I've always wanted to. I never could get the family to do it. So we go hiking, and, you know, and we're in non-hiking stuff, you know. So we loved it, and so we got back. I bought everybody a pair of boots. John Christopher has a 14 boot.
Oh,
you could kill somebody with that boot. And so they're all waterproof, and we got the hiking sticks, the hiking pants, the hiking shirts, the jackets. We're like hiking fiends now, and we love it. And so we go down with them, and then Christy and I will hike some. It's really funny. Christy was leading us down in Hurricane one time. We were way back in there. I think we were on the WVU trail down
there. Is that the Meeks trails?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're back in there. Well, it's starting to get dark, and so she got us lost. But I can still hear cars. But so I have an app. I'm sure you probably have that same app. I don't know if you use it or not. I'll show you what it is, and it will navigate you. You can, like, be in a certain area, and you can type in trails, and it'll show you where they're
cool.
All over.
No, I don't.
It's free. I
don't have anything like that. We just usually go to parks and things where the trails are marked.
And so, I mean, I had to navigate us out of, I mean, it was dark when we got out, and it was like, man, this is crazy. But we love it, and it's a lot of fun.
We did that weekend before last. We did the Mary Ingalls Trail down on 817 between Winfield and St. Albans.
Really?
We had passed it a few times, so I thought we ought to check that out sometimes. And so our day kind of got rearranged on us, which, you know, happens all the time. And so we're like, well, let's run down there real quick, and, you know, we'll hike for a couple hours, and we'll come back, take really quick showers, and go do this. And so it was awesome. I mean, it's right past the lumber yard down there, where you start, and it goes all the way out onto the other side. So we drove down to the one end and saw where it came out, and we drove back to where we planned on starting. And I told Sam, I was like, that's an awful long way on the road. Right. I said, it's got to be longer on the trail. And everything, well, let's just go and see. So we get back in there, and we hike, and we're just wiggling out through the, you know, the plains. You know, we're not in the mountain. And all of a sudden, we turn the corner, and it's like straight up.
Oh, yeah.
And so we did it. We got to the top, but we were huffing and puffing when we did. But I got eaten alive by chiggers.
No.
I'm talking from my toes all the way up both legs and into the small of my back. And then
did you have shorts on?
Onto my belly, yeah.
Oh,
and into my belly, I got eaten up.
Oh, wow.
And I am just now really getting past all that.
Right.
And
bless,
man, it's been miserable with those things. But
if I know I'm going to,
but
be
it was an
field.
Awesome trail, and that trail's 11.3 miles long.
Really,
we looked it up after the fact to see how far we wanted to see how far we got, and I would say at the best we only got a quarter of it done because,
wow,
so it would be a whole day to do the whole thing.
Well, I need to check that out, and I'll give you this app because you'll get credit for it, and then you can post, and it shows you where you're at when you're navigating through, and, you know, and it's free too. So cool. I showed it to John Christopher. Normally, you guys are the tech people who show me stuff, and I'm thinking I found something.
No, we're just getting started, and I never even thought about there being an app for that. But yeah. I guess there's an app for everything.
Anytime you're going to be in a field or anything like that, rubber bands on the legs. On the bottom of your blue jeans or whatever.
I'd probably still wear shorts.
John Christopher, that's the way he is.
I just...
he's the same
I'm too hot, man. I sweat too much.
Well, I tell you, we are on part four of Create It with Pastor Jay. And so you used 2 Timothy 1:7 as your text, right?
Actually, the whole chapter, but yes.
The whole chapter. So starting at well, the main part of that, I think, is considering, verse 7 where it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That was one of the things that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So did verse 1 have significance to what you were talking about?
Well, the main point, to go along with the Create It series, I think the most of it drew, and this is where the Create It series was born from. So instead of starting with it, we brought it in here in part 4, and part 5 will be this week, and we'll be done, Lord willing. But verses 6 and 7, therefore I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And, you know, we've been talking from the beginning about how, you know, the world was nothingness. We were nothingness until God chose to make us. And that wasn't an accident. There's no child, no baby in a womb that is an accident. Every single one is chosen of God.
Amen.
Right? And we need to understand that. I think, you know, because we're in this whole do you thing, and I'm not really akin to that. I think we're called to do God and to be more like Jesus,
right,
you know, than we are to really implement ourselves. And I think where the world really messes that up is by not recognizing that we were molded and created by God. You know, we weren't created by a man and a woman in a bed.
Right.
Right? We were created by God. He chose to place that baby in the mother's womb. He chose to gift it. He chose to give it talents. He chose to give it significance. And, you know, we run around today so hard looking for significance and looking for something of worth in ourselves. Whereas if we would just stop and take a step back and realize that from the very beginning of our existence, we were planned by God.
Wow.
You know, God chose us. He chose us for this time. He chose us for this moment. And he gifted us with all that we need to do what we're supposed to do in this time. And I think so many times we're looking for that thing, or we're looking for that spark, or we're looking for that person when we already have it.
Right.
Right. And we just need to tap into God. We just need to tap in to his fullness and his love and his mercy and his salvation and forgiveness. And once we abide in that place of peace and that place of redemption, then he begins empowering us with what he intended for us in the very beginning. And we start living out the plan of God in our life.
Yes.
And there's no greater significance, and there's no greater meaning than that. And we're hitting our head against the wall trying to find it in relationships and money and titles and you know, worldly things that God just doesn't care about. You
right.
know? And we see that in the life of Jesus, right? And I'm not saying don't have goals, and I'm not saying don't work hard, and I'm not saying, you know, all of these things, right? Because the gifts God gave us can help us accomplish things and help us, you know, I've done very well in my job, and it has allowed me to, you know, do a lot of the things that I do in ministry and different things else. It's afforded me those opportunities and so forth. So I'm not saying don't have goals. I'm not saying, you know, don't go to school, don't work hard, don't, you know, do all of those things. Because I think, you know, without going into a lot of extra Bible, we're commended to do those things, you know,
right,
and so forth. But I just think we're trying to find significance in all the wrong things. And Paul tells Timothy here, look, you've already got this gift. You've already got this purpose. So stir it up, mm-hmm. right? Stir it up. Rekindle that gift. Verse 6, rekindle that gift. I'm in the Christian Standard Bible. Rekindle that gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's significant too, because who we hang around matters,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think in the Christian faith it especially matters, right? I don't want to be hanging around people that you know, elevate me or make me feel good about myself. I want people to challenge me, right? I want to spend time with, you know, the mentors in my life, the Pastor Rods and the Pastor Wrights and those people who challenge me to be better and challenge me to be more knowledgeable and challenge me to step into more.
Yes.
Right. And I think that's essentially what Paul was saying here is like, look, you know, you don't need to be me, be you.
Right.
And in my anointing, I've laid hands on you and I know the gift that's in you. So, you know, step into that, live in that. And then he promises in verse 7 that God-given gift, that thing that we can create within us from God's power, it's full of power, love, and sound judgment, right? And so I have often said from that verse alone, and there's a million more, if we see people in ministry not operating in love, mm-hmm. you know, then that's not the anointing in the Spirit of God.
Right.
In them. Usually it's self-absorption, but just being honest. But, you know, we're to act in love first and foremost above everything else that we do. And if we're not, you know, and if we're operating from a place of self or from a place of prestige, then I don't think we're really operating in the Spirit of the Lord and the things that are in us. So that was kind of the premise around this message is the gift is already in us. We're just looking in all the wrong places.
You know, I'm sitting here doing research while we're talking about this. You know, when you think about the word rekindle, it means start to burn again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about that, and then, you know, when you think of stir up the gifts, it's almost like people today don't want to stay in their lane. Many times, mm-hmm. it's like they want to. They're bored with what God's called them to do, so they're bored with it. So they want to go over and wreak havoc on somebody else's calling.
Yeah,
you know, when what we're learning here is, you know, do what you're called to do.
Yeah,
and when you do that, then you'll be fulfilled.
Well, and I think a lot of that. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think a lot of that comes from people not knowing their lane.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I've been in services with people that it's almost like they're wanting me to know that, you know, they're kind of silently but kind of not silently praying in tongues and everything. And it's almost like they make their way around so that you know that. And then that same person's on the parking lot gossiping after church.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, okay, now I know why I didn't bear witness with you.
Right.
Right. And so I think people see what others have. Right? And they want that.
Right.
So they pursue that.
Right.
Right? And there are, I don't know, I almost call them cults, but there's cults out there that tell you to fake that kind of stuff till you make it. Just fake
it.
Just practice it. Just try it. And God will eventually pick it up and go with it. No.
No.
That is not how that works.
I agree.
And it's stupid theology and just absolute blasphemy and heretical preaching, but not getting on a soapbox there. The point is, I think the people you're talking about, the stay-in-your-lane people, are people who don't know their lane. They just know they want it, right? They just know they want something. They want to be seen as spiritual. They want to be seen as powerful. They want to be seen in all of these ways. But they've never really tapped into their gift, and so they're operating around what they see in others, and they do what they see others do, and that can be dangerous. I mean, we have to. When I talk about surrounding yourself with mentors, I'm not talking about the gifts and the actions of those people. I think it's important that we surround ourselves with people wiser than us. And people more experienced than us and more knowledgeable than us. I mean, I read a thing the other day on Barna that of the, I think it was something like 10,000 people interviewed over a year's time who consider themselves evangelical Christians, 86% have never read the Bible all the way through.
86%.
86%.
Wow.
Have never read the Bible all the way through. Even more astonishing. I think it was 54%. I can go find it again and verify that. But I think it was 54% of men who preach or teach weekly in their church have never read the Bible all the way through.
Wow.
And we wonder why our churches are struggling. And we wonder why we're struggling in our Christian life, right? And, you know, the pundit will say, well, I don't see that there's going to be any checkbox when I get to heaven that I've read the Bible all the way through. Yeah. Well, no, we're saved by grace through faith and through the work of Jesus on the cross. That's a dumb comment. The reality behind that is you're not really knowing God until you know his word.
Right.
And until you know all of his word. Yeah. Right. And until you have a desire for his word, you're not really coming to know God. And and if you're just grabbing scriptures or nuggets, things like that's all good. I'm not anti, you know, devotionals, right? I'm not anti devotionals, you know, that 1 minute hit for the day or whatever. I'm not anti that at all. That's good stuff. Amen. But to have the full holistic view of God and of Jesus Christ, you need all of the word, because the word is who he is.
Right.
Right? The word is who he is. The word is what he does. The word is how he thinks. And the word is how he operates. And so picking verses here and there and choosing and thinking, okay, I'm living a fulfilled Christian life is not accurate.
Right.
Right? It's coming into that full knowledge and full glory of God and who he is that allows us to step into all of our gifts and all of our callings.
Well, and then it goes to another place of saying, okay, you know, if you've read the Bible straight through, then there's a lot of things that you have to apply.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where people, they lose it in the equation there of not applying it, bragging about reading it, but not applying it.
Yeah.
It goes back to, you know, I was at a church service on Wednesday night in Greensboro, and the preacher was saying that we have a form of
form of godliness.
Godliness, but deny the power thereof.
Yep.
And it's like I began to research what is a form of godliness. You know, when you think about that, and so the church today, many great people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof because they don't know how to apply it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the big things.
And I think a lot of times we're the ones trying to apply the power instead of allowing the power of God to flow through us.
Right.
And that's where it really messes up for us, because in those times we're faking it till we make it and we fail.
Yeah.
And so then we blame God.
Right.
When we really should blame the heretic who taught us that garbage.
Yeah.
In reality. You know, and I think understanding that power matters, because I love what Timothy says here. You know, he talks about his faith, Timothy's faith, you know, what he's really trying to do is he's trying to get behind Timothy and encourage him to step into what God has. And he says this. He says, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced is also in you. This power of God and this level of faith, it's curse breaking.
Yes.
Right? And you know, I put a thing on Facebook the other night. You know, you can normally tell where my mind is and my studies are by my Facebook post a lot of time, other than the stupid gifts and funny things I do. But I just see things that I think are hilarious and I share them, and people think I'm nuts. But
it's funny. Well, outside at least you're not those, like Tim Morris taking that sweeper and getting the sweat off a wet vac. I don't know if you saw that.
No,
He took a wet vac and he said, I know how to get the sweat off of me now. And it's like,
he did that on Facebook?
Oh, he did.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, I know. So you haven't gone
love
to that.
Love you, Tim.
Yeah, you haven't gone to that. I texted him and said, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But, you know, Lois and Eunice, man, they were curse breakers, right? They put a power and they put a glory in their lives that came from God. And as such, they passed that power and glory from one generation to another. Paul gives us testimony of that, right? Lois passed it to Eunice, and Eunice passed it to Timothy.
Yeah.
Right? So here's the thing. Not only are we curse breakers when we walk in the full power and glory of God, but we also set up our generations for spiritual success.
Wow.
When we walk in the full power and glory of God.
That's good.
You want your children to succeed? You want your children to be on fire and ignited for Jesus Christ? Walk in the full power and glory of Jesus Christ. If they hear you gossiping, they're never going to walk in the full power and glory. If they hear you arguing, they're never going to walk in the full power and glory. They don't see you reading your Bible and making a priority in your life, they're never going to walk in the full glory. They don't see you praying and know that you have a solid prayer life. They're never going to walk in the full power and the glory of God, right? And if you're faking it till you make it, they're eventually going to realize that you're faking it and not want it.
Right.
Right? And so the reality for us is that when we allow what God has already put in us to be created in us and stirred up in us and flow out of us, not only does it benefit us spiritually, but it benefits our generational line. And you know, and I put a thing on Facebook the other night that says, you know, your children and their 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 children, however many times I said it, need you to start breaking curses.
Right. That's good.
They need you to start breaking curses and start living out the full power and glory of God in your life, and not all of these little, you know, these little whiny, trivial things that you let grab hold of you and hold you back, right? They need you to break those curses and walk in the full power and glory of God so they can. You want your kids to walk in full power and glory? Honey, trust me. Yeah. I've read the Bible. I know what's coming. Yeah. It's not pretty.
No.
It's not easy. It's not peaceful. Right?
Right.
And if your kids need anything, they need the full power and glory in their life, and they're relying on you to pass it down to them.
That's so good. That's so true. Because when you think about what it means to stir up, here's the definition. It means to cause, to feel a strong emotion and a desire to do something. You know, when you think about stirring up a crowd, stirring up, you know, the gifts that are within inside of you, that means get on the stick here. It's time to move, because God wants you to do something. And that's where people get stuck. They're so stuck in their past or so stuck in their now, and the victim mentality many times is that your calling is not being manifested within inside of you, because you're living in yesterday. Or yesterday's hurt, or today's lack, so to speak. And I think that that's one of the big things that people struggle with. I was looking at 2 Timothy here and finding out, you know, where Nero had, he caught Rome on fire because he wanted to rebuild it to his liking. But then he blames the Christians for making a mess, to get the blame off of him. So I'm starting to see a theme here of why, you know, Paul is saying rekindle.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, so they've been through some fire issues here.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking, why would he say rekindle?
But understand what they made a mess of. They made a mess of the political and financial structure.
Yeah.
Right? Because they started tearing down those walls.
Right.
And they started tearing down those structures, because those don't matter to God.
The Christians did.
Right? The Christians did. Yeah, the Christians started influencing people, you know, with the power of God and of spirit and of love and of sound judgment, everything that we're talking about here.
Right.
And they began operating and manifesting the gifts and the glory of God in their life, right? And so they were no longer producing
mm-hmm.
according to the political and financial structure of the day. And so it began to crumble.
Right.
Right? And as it began to crumble,
mm-hmm.
the political and financial people freaked out.
So they're on Nero.
And yeah. And so then they became
trickles down.
They became enemies of the church because the power and the money and the worldly power, I should clarify, the worldly power and the money and the fortune and the fame and all of the things that come with the politics, so to speak,
yeah.
Were not where they wanted them to be. And so they became persecutors of the church as well.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, that's kind of like the backstory on it. So when you think about your grandsons, you know, and I think about my grandson and granddaughters, and you think about your kids, okay, generations to come. It's our responsibility
mm-hmm.
to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Not the churches, not anybody else's. You're right.
It starts at home.
It's ours. Yeah.
It starts at home, and so, but we see the enemy so many times beginning to destroy, and he already is. He destroys the family unit, which in turn tries to destroy the church because those two things are right in line. So how do we destroy the work of the enemy there to get a family back focused on, I mean, because you know, when I wasn't pastoring, I was in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
and we had a above ground swimming pool that we swam at on Sunday after church, and you're dog tired beat. You know how you are when you swim,
yeah,
dog tired beat. But man, we hopped in the showers, we got our showers, and out the door we went to church because we didn't want to miss it.
Right.
But today, add an extra service, and my Lord, it's like.
Well,
it's just the end of the world.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of things that go into that. You know, a church I pastored previously, I talked to them about not having the Sunday night service. And, you know, they were immediately like, oh, no, that's the sign the church is dying. I said, no. You know what the sign of the church is dying is? Is that we have 100 people on Sunday morning.
20.
And yeah, 15 to 20 show up on Sunday night.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a church that's dying because it means the people in the morning are coming because they have to or they should, not because they want to.
Right.
And so forth. And, you know, so I think in so many ways we've put so many things, you know, and we see it today. You know, I remember it used to be when we grew up, there was no ball practice on Wednesday nights.
No.
Because that was church night.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, from the president of the Little League all the way down to the coaches and the parents and everybody else, we were all in church on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a given and so forth. Well, now there's stuff every night of the week, including Sunday night. Every night of the week that has to do with sports and has to do with extracurricular activities. And I'm not against extracurricular activities. Our boys played ball and everything else, and I'm all for that. Sometimes that can be the gift of God in them, and we have to recognize that. But where is our priority?
Right.
You know, where is our priority? And you can say, well, I don't have to show up at every service, you know, the church has to serve him. Well, okay. Letter of the law, yeah, that's correct. But if you're feeding into that church and that church is feeding into you, I think you hit the nail on the head. You'll want to be part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You'll want to be involved in that. Amen. Because you'll be on fire. And understand this. The church was God's plan.
Right.
Right? What did Jesus say?
Upon.
Jesus said, on this rock,
yep.
I'll build my church. Not your church.
His
my church.
Church. Right.
Right? And so the church is part of the plan. And, you know, so we have a lot of things today, you know, that I think, you know, these people that want, you know, want it their way. And so to have it their way, they just quit going to church and do home church and different things like that.
Right.
I don't necessarily believe that's biblical. And you could say, well, that's how the early church started. Yeah, it's how the early church started. But the church today should be built on the sacrifices of that early church.
Right.
I mean, if we want to be completely technical about the early church, everybody sold all that they had and brought all of that money into the storehouse and shared it with the church.
Right. And made it homes.
They didn't store it up in the banks.
Right.
They sold it all and brought it into the church. You know, so if you can't have this and not have this. I mean, if right. you're going to take those stands, you got to take the holistic part of that.
Right.
And everything. But I think we see from the very beginning that Jesus always intended to build a church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that church would have a body, and that church would have many members, arms and right. legs, and many members. We would all have different gifts. We would all have different purposes, but we would work in concert with one another to accomplish the full will yes. of God. I don't think the church, for the most part, acts that way anymore, because I think we've all become way too selfish, mm-hmm. and we want it our way more than God's way.
Yes.
And I think the church is failing and struggling that way. I think that's what's getting passed on to our kids. You know, oh, we're not getting what we want here, so we'll go here.
You're talking
oh,
about
we're not that? Getting what we want here, so we'll go here. Oh, right. We're not getting what we want here, so we'll go here. Amen. And I think that's what's getting passed down to generations today, where we're looking for a self-serving church, you know, something mm-hmm. that serves what I want, rather than something that challenges who I am
right.
to step into the fullness of God. And because of that, I think we think we're doing the right thing going to church, but when we don't model the heart and the spirit of the church in the home,
yeah,
I think it creates curses in our kids, and our kids grow up not wanting it.
All right.
You know, and you can see the difference, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been showing up randomly at youth at our church for years now, mm-hmm. and just kind of standing back and watching. And you can see, you know, you can see the ones who are on their phone in the corner, rolling their eyes every time they're asked to do something. And you can see the ones who are up and ready to go, because they want what's next. They want what's next, because the gift is stirred up in them.
Right.
Right. The fire and the desire for what God has for their life is in them. And they want that. And, you know, and I think, you know, there were days my boys didn't want to go to church, John. There were days, Dad, do we have to go? It's so boring. Yes, that's who we are.
Right.
That's who we are. It's what we do. We're going to church, and we're not going there to find boredom. We're going there to find Jesus.
Right.
Right. And if Jesus is just this much of it, it was worth it.
Right.
If Jesus is just this much of it, then it was worth it. And yeah. and that's what you need to be seeking, and that's what you need to be looking for. So, yeah, we're going. Get your butt up, get your shoes on, and everything. We're going to church, because that's who we are.
Well, you know, I was watching the promotional, the clip, not a promotional clip, but it was the clip that you all put together on the retreat.
The youth retreat.
Yeah, the youth retreat down in Pawtucket. And so I'm watching this, and I'm intrigued by it. You know, even though I was there, I was watching it, and I thought, oh, I recorded that, or yeah, I remember that,
yeah.
this kind of stuff. And then you remember, and so I'm sitting there weeping, watching this video.
Yeah.
This was like a couple weeks ago.
It was
and
a powerful.
And I'm weeping.
Powerful 4 days.
And it's like, man, I don't know anybody. I mean, I've been to a lot of church camps over my life, and I've been to a lot of things. But I don't think there's ever been a church camp that has been first class like this one.
Luke did a great job.
Yeah.
He really did.
I mean, it was I know it was a lot of learning and a lot of great things that happened. It was the best, I thought.
Yeah. Well, we you know, we're still seeing the fruits of that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how God works. It's not how Luke works, it's not how the church works, but we're seeing that power of God getting stirred up in these kids. We had Miley. I'll have to tell her I talked about her. Miley brought three new girls to church Sunday morning.
Wow.
And so when they were back in their class, you know, Luke said, well, what made you come to church with her? And he said, all we've heard since she went to North Carolina is what has happened in her life and the difference in her life and how awesome it was and everything that happened. I mean, every day, all she's talking about is that experience.
Right.
And we want some of that. and here they are at church. You know, Davey's had a new guy with him literally almost every week. Someone new he brings with him to church and everything else. And, you know, and that's not a Luke thing. That's not a Paul's thing. That's a God thing.
Right?
Because why? It got stirred up in them.
Right.
Right? It rekindled in them.
Right.
And so now they're walking in what God gave them from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's multiplying to their friends and to the people that they care to tell about what God did in them.
Yes.
And you know, the church is growing from it, and we're seeing the fruits of it and so forth. And, man, what a thrill and what a blessing. I mean, you know, our youth leaves to go into the back on Sunday morning, and it's like this whole three rows of the church is now empty because it all just went back to class.
Because they're all doing their thing and learning.
But it's powerful and it's awesome. So we're excited about it.
Well, and you said it right. I mean, you know, I always felt like if you can get the kids in, you can get the parents.
Yeah.
You know, and I really believe that because, but you stop and think, you know, normally in a church camp setting, you know, you see the first couple of nights, you don't see much altar work, you know, because everybody's trying to figure everybody out and, you know, they're, you know, bashful and whatever else, you know, teenagers can try to be. But this one was different because, I mean, there was altar work every night, and which I thought was really awesome that people are hungry.
Yeah.
That these kids are hungry and they want to bring in, you know, somebody, you know, every week, you know, and I just think it's just absolutely powerful.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
It's changing the world. And
I told the church, we'll go upstairs in the classroom and let them have down here if they keep growing. It's fine with me.
That's so crazy. I mean, that is. I mean, it's just how it works. I remember, you know, years ago, a lot of them moved off and a lot of them got married and went away to school. But I remember, you know, nights on Wednesday night in Gassaway where the teens, you know, there's 12, 15 of them in the back room in one of the areas of the church and worship music going on. And they're walking around in circles or they're walking around, you know, there's little piles of people that are praying. And then you see somebody else walk over and start praying. And this one particular night, the Spirit of the Lord was just moving real strong. And, I mean, the adults were waiting on their children over an hour. And I didn't interrupt them.
Mm.
You know, you don't interrupt them. And I missed those times, you know, for that, you know, because it was just really powerful. But you see revival today within young people. Man, I tell you, it's just, I mean, it ignites the flame.
Yeah.
And so any kind of church services that you have with youth, and if you kicked in a youth revival of some kind, man, I tell you what, it's going to take off like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. And I just really feel that. I mean, I've always felt, I thought coming back, I was saying, man, I tell you what, this is powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's just powerful. I was down there this week and walking the campground and remembering, you know, this and, I remember they wrapped Derek up in toilet paper and nobody was filming.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, we got to get this, you know? So, I mean, it's like I've filmed it and it's like I'm watching and then they pick him up and carry him from one side to the other. And it's like, have mercy. I couldn't do that. but then the seriousness of the church services and what God did. You know,
and that, I think that's the key with teens, you know, is you got to let them have fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to let them have fun and you got to let them, you know, do crazy things and this and that and the other. And then, you know, work Jesus into it.
Right.
You know, in the right times and in the right settings. And, you know, the church services were amazing, but there was also a lot of work going on behind the scenes, you know, in the dorms at night. I think the girls were keeping Adelie and Taylor up, you know, till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, asking questions, wanting to learn more about Jesus, wanting to understand what it meant for their life and everything else like that. So, you know, that those moments are every bit as important as the services and every bit as important as the games and the fun and everything that we have. But, you know, you got to let them be teens in the meantime, you know. Sure. You got to kind of mix all that up, and you know, and
barrel fun.
Yeah, so we were just really blessed by the way it all went.
So you're on part five this week.
We're gonna close it up this week.
Okay.
We're gonna kind of bring it around. I mean, this was a really different series for me. I even said in one of the messages that it was stretching for me and challenging for me, because, you know, really the only gift I have is my mouth, right? I don't play instruments. I used to sing years ago,
right?
And everything back in the old quartet days and whatever, and in the choir and all of that, I used to sing and so forth. But I've preached to the point that my vocal cords just can't carry a tune anymore. And
you can still sing.
So, I mean, I don't play an instrument. I don't sing. I can't draw. I do well to draw stick figures.
Draw stick figures.
I have none of that talent.
Me either.
And everything else like that. But you know, God, you know, blessed me with a good brain, and he blessed me with a big mouth, and he uses it, and I'm thankful for that. So, you know, tapping into that idea of, you know, using what's in you. You know, that stretches me a little bit, because I don't know what it's like to be artistic.
Me either.
I don't know what that's like. Mm-mm. And everything else. I'm impressed by it, and I'm wowed by it. And so when people step into that, I think it's wonderful. You know, like the poem Becky wrote that she read before service last week, before I preached last week, and everything else that was impressed upon her by this series. I could have never sat down and wrote a poem like that.
Wow.
And everything, but you know, it had rhyme, it had rhythm, and you know, all those things that they tried to teach us about writing poetry. I remember them teaching it to me, but I don't remember anything about it.
Right.
Just enough to be like, oh yeah, it has rhythm. Oh yeah, it has rhyme. Right. Oh yeah, I think there's three parts: rhyme, rhythm, something else. I don't know. I kind of paid attention that day in English, but you know, and she got up and she read it. Man, it was powerful. It was good stuff. And you know, the week before that, Chris gets up and does a monologue and teaches about, you know, work that this man did in a church, and the only person that was ever going to see it was God, and so forth, and talent, and you know, that was the goal, is for people to realize that the gift that's in them was put in them by God.
Right.
It wasn't just something that happened. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't something spontaneous. It was planned.
Right.
God planned this. God planned you, you know? And you know, and this is going to sound political, but it's not political at all. Because you know how I feel about politics in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Think about all the babies who've been aborted
that
God had plans for.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all of the babies who never got a chance to give us as a people, not even the church, but as a people, all of the babies that were never given the chance that God planned for their life.
All right.
Right? Maybe cancer would be cured. You know, maybe all of the things that we're worried about and all of the things that we're dealing with today would be cured.
Yeah, right.
But you know, the enemy
saw
those plans. The enemy knew God was doing something. And so what did he do? He allowed this medium to take place to rid the world and to rid the church and to rid humankind of God's plan.
Right.
Because I firmly believe every child is placed in the womb of God. That's Bible.
It is.
Right? That's not me making it up. That's Bible. He crafted us. He formed us in our mother's womb. You know what that means? It means when we're carrying a child, the hand of God is on us and in us.
Right.
Right? I say us. I'm a dude. I'm not a female, so it'll never be me. But any woman carrying a child, whether your life is where it should be or it's far from where it should be, the hand of God is on you and in you, forming and creating that child.
Wow.
Right?
Powerful.
And
he has a
plan for its life.
Right.
Right? And you're part of that plan.
Amen.
Right? So start breaking those curses.
Yeah.
Start stirring up the power and the love of God in your life.
That's
and let it culminate into everything God meant for it to be.
Right.
From the very beginning. Don't bring that child into the curses you've walked through.
Yeah.
Be the one that puts the foot down and says, no,
right,
I've dealt with this. My child won't deal with this.
Wow. So good.
Right. And break those curses and stir up the gift that's not only in you, but the gift that's in the generations and the generations and the generations to come.
To come. Absolutely. Well, it's powerful, Pastor Jay, and I can't wait to hear number 5 of Create It, which will be coming up on Sunday. You can catch all of the ones on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. You can catch all of the early sermons that he preached on Create It, and we encourage you to listen to those, as well as Facebook and on YouTube. So they're all on there. So I tell you what, if you're not where you...
Last week's is not on there. We had a board issue last week, and we... Our board basically wiped itself, and so we had to start from scratch. So, yeah, we should have the stream back this week, but, yeah, it didn't happen last week.
Yeah, that's pretty yeah, because I was looking for it. I thought, where is it? And then you told me that, and I thought I hated that. But you can catch everything but 4, you know, on and, you know, Grant said that he thought that it was the most powerful one that you spoke, and here it's not out there, you know, but that's just sometimes the way it happens, but...
How the devil works.
Yeah, he's a liar. Yeah, because
thief.
Yeah, he's a
thief.
He's
robbing people of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had to give him a blackout today and talk about it. No doubt. Have a great day, everybody. If you're not where you need to be today, go ahead.
One more thing I forgot.
No.
Happy birthday, Holden.
Try it again.
I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Holden.
His birthday.
Yeah, little bear's 3 today.
3?
Yep.
That's so crazy. He's in charge.
Yeah, he is.
He's a good guy. I mean, he likes the bike.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
He's the, you know, he never really warmed up much with me until I brought the bike over.
Oh, anything that...
wanted to blow the horn.
Anything that you know, makes a big engine type sound or whatever, he loves.
So. Well, definitely the moped.
Yeah.
It makes a big engine sound.
Oh, yeah, because it's a big bike.
No doubt about it. Hey, I tell you, if you're not where you need to be with Jesus, all you have to do... is just surrender. Just surrender and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and live. Use me for your kingdom, glory, and honor. And if you prayed that prayer, just let us know. We'll send you a Bible free of charge. Get in a Bible-believing church. If you're on the East Coast, we'd love to have you in one of our campuses because God is doing some awesome things. Please share, like, and subscribe. Let people know. Download the app, the Pulse WV Live, on your Android or your Apple device, and it gives you access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, music, preaching, and teaching, some of the best this side of heaven. I guarantee you, you will be blessed with it. I promise you, no doubt. Well, there is several different ways that you can give to this ministry, and God is faithful, and it's through your offerings and your love gifts. You can text the word PULSE, the 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com and give through PayPal. Or you can mail your love gift to 5368 State Route 34. It's on the screen, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Thanks for listening and watching. Have a great day. And we'll see you the next time for the next edition of the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.